welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Bazell, and I am back! I am back from my Disney cruise, and I'll tell you, last week we had our wonderful Disney High episode with Ashley Spencer. That was so much fun. But I recorded that in advance because I was out of town. So for me, I haven't done an episode in like 2 weeks, and it weirdly feels like I've been on break, even though we've had a podcast every week. I guess more organized people, this is how they plan out a podcast. You know I'm recording this thing down to the wire. Truly down to the second it is due, and then a few hours after that, Jeff, don't tattle on me. I'm a little late. Listen, this podcast is truly uploaded like Tuesday at 10 p.m. before it comes out Wednesday every week. I'm doing my best. It gets out the door. It's there live. That's all that matters. But because I was out of town and I did one in advance, I kind of like the way it feels. Like, I'm not a get your homework done early type of person. I'm not a, oh, the deadline is noon, I'll do it a day before. That's not me at all. I'm pretty sure you can tell from listening to this podcast that's not me at all. But it was nice. It's a nice feeling. It's kind of like when you make your bed and you're like, oh, that's what all those people are talking about. You know? It felt nice. It feels nice because it's like, oh, I've had a break from work, even though I've had this podcast on every week. But now I am back. I'm back at my desk, and it is nice. As you can tell from my voice, my LA allergies are back in full swing. I take allergy medicine currently. I came home and forgot, and so I didn't take it for about 3 days. So my body is still catching up. LA is, of course, you know, it's like, it's hot, it's cold, it's like kind of rainy out. It's like a dusting of water. There's a lot happening. And so I apologize if I sound a little bleh. It's just me being back in my home climate. Anyway, it is almost fall. I think it is technically first day of fall started. I feel like I saw some meme. And I know, oh, this is so embarrassing. I posted on Instagram last Friday. I was like, oh, now that it's a new month, I should share our podcast sponsors on my Instagram. Multiple people were like, honey, it is mid to late September. No, I forgot. I was like, it's still September 2nd. It is not at all. September is flying by. And like, we are in the Halloween window. And I am one of those people who like, I haven't figured out my Halloween costume yet. And now I gotta figure it out because it's a month away. I thought I had so much time. Again, not someone who plans in advance. I was like, oh, I got plenty of time to find a costume. I now don't, but you know what? That's how I function, and it's totally fine. In the meantime, I am spending my days absorbing all of the new fall television. I don't know if you feel the same way as me, but if you... if you saw anything about Dr. Odyssey and your reaction was not... what? And was more, oh, I will be seated and tuning in for this. If you are the latter, you are one of my people. Because I've seen billboards for the show and I'm like, I'm sorry, Josh Jackson and a Ryan Murphy production on a boat? I will be there. This is not what we're supposed to be talking about in the intro of this episode about a Disney cruise. But hey, I guess it kind of ties in, right? The drama of the high seas. I'm sure Josh Jackson and Pippa Sue, Philippa Sue from Hamilton, if you know, you know. I'm pretty sure that show will be way more dramatic than my cruise because my cruise had zero drama. But still very excited about this show. But I bring it up because the only thing I want to say is that now, I guess like what, 25, 27 years in, I forget how long it's been on. I am now addicted to Dancing with the Stars. Listen, I didn't see it coming either, but something about them having Alona Maher and Steven Nedorozic, I think is his last name, having the two like famous viral Olympians on Dancing with the Stars, I'm seated. I'm not even there for Anna Delvey. I know you're kind of supposed to be there for Anna Delvey because, again, the drama. But no, I love Alona Maher and I love Steven Nedorozic and I am really enjoying Dancing with the Stars this season. So if you like it too, let's commiserate like in the family or on 747 Churros. Either way, I love it. That is all that's going on. We are going to talk about the most wonderful 3 days of my life, basically. Our Disney cruise. There are highs, there are lows, there are critiques, there's advice. Stick around, we have so much going on. I can't wait to share this with you. I can't wait! And also, consider Dancing with the Stars. Again, it's kind of fun this season. Okay, bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. We are going to talk about my recent Disney Cruise Line sailing. And we're going to get into all of it. The sights, the snacks, the Sanderson sisters. But the intent of my attendance on this cruise was to see Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, their new Bahamian island destination exclusively for DCL sailings. It opened to passengers over the summer. At the time of recording this, the Magic, Dream, and Fantasy will primarily be visiting here. But whether you have sailed with Disney Cruise Line before or only really heard of it in passing, you likely know about Castaway Key, Disney's other island destination. Castaway Key is basically synonymous with Disney Cruise Line because it's been their only island destination since they began sailing in 1998. But believe it or not, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point is their first cruise line exclusive destination in 26 years. And I'm basically giving you all those dates to tell you this is a big deal. This opened and it is huge news. We'll get into all of that in a second, because first, I want to talk about the cruise as a whole. As you remember, Disney Cruise Line's fleet is on the verge of, I want to say peak expansion, but I'm just going to say world domination. For a very long time, there were four ships. The Disney Magic and Disney Wonder, the first two kind of OG ships, are smaller, more intimate. Then came the Disney Fantasy and the Disney Dream, which are bigger and newer, or for a long time newer, but not anymore. Then came the Disney Wish, which I sailed on back in 2022, and the Disney Treasure and Disney Destiny, which are the two new forthcoming sister ships to the Disney Wish. And then there's going to be like a zillion more that I can't even get into because it's too much. Just keep all of those in your brain for now. Anyway, we were sailing on the Disney Magic, the OG, the original Disney Cruise Line ship. And I gotta say, girl looked good. Girl looked good. For having sailed around the world and back many, many times, the Magic was in tip-top shape. Clean, shiny, like barely any signs of wear. I was very impressed. I couldn't believe how nice it looked, considering how, listen, I don't want to call like a 25-year-old old, but she's, for a cruise ship, she's a bit aged. Anyway, our sailing was out of Fort Lauderdale, not Cape Canaveral like most others I've been on. Usually, I've like hopped a bus from Walt Disney World to the Orlando area and gotten there and gotten back, which is like a transfer they offer. But this time, I had the special and unique privilege of renting a car and driving to the port, which I've never done before, and I cannot explain the thrill of pulling up to a parking lot, parking, looking out the passenger window, and seeing Disney Magic on the side of a cruise ship. The cruise ship was right there. It was so convenient. It was so easy. And also, I paid a porter. They have these porters that are, basically, when you get off a ship, there's porters who are like waiting where your luggage is, and they can help you if you tip them. They can help you bring your luggage wherever you gotta go. This porter helped me all the way to my car because it was so close. Put the stuff in my car. Boom, we were out on a road trip. It was wonderful. Everything was so nice. And even though it was my first time at this cruise ship port, the check-in was seamless. Like, I got to skip some of the line because I'm in the Castaway Club. Hey, silver status. I've been on a few cruises, no big deal. But we basically checked in, got through security, boom. And the moment we did, our group was called and we boarded so easily. And I have to tell you this because When you get on a Disney Cruise Line ship, they ask your name and then they present you. They present like the Wiesel family. And it's just very, it's very magical and it's very nice. And I've done it a few times now and it's always great. But this time it was extra special because I walked on, it was with my mom, it was with my baby. We walk on and we're like, wow, that was so much fun. What do we want to do now? And I look up and we're walked into the atrium, the main center of the ship. And who do I see in the balcony? But Mickey Mouse, the one and only Mickey Mouse. At the balcony, waving at guests below. And I got to stand next to my daughter who was like, "What? Where am I? Where I just got out of a car. And now Mr. Mouse is up there waving back at me on a ship." It was one of the highlights of the trip. Pure Disney magic. Just so much fun. The most magical welcome moment. Truly. Now, our sailing had the extra bonus of being a themed sailing. Halloween on the high seas. I don't know why I said it in that voice. It just seemed like it necessitated it. And it was really nice because it basically added an extra element of fun. I've done a Christmas kind of holiday themed one before, and I also kind of felt the same way. It's like going to the parks during the holiday. It's all this stuff you love, but then there's even more to look at and enjoy. It really helped us feel like we did more on our cruise also, because they had all these special Halloween events. They had this Mickey's Masquerade, which we didn't do, which seemed really cute, just the timing didn't work out for us. But they had trick-or-treating, Pearls for trick-or-treating. We did it in like Cabanas, the buffet restaurant, which we'll talk about later. We did trick-or-treating around Cabanas, and she was like playing with the candy and just looking at all the wrappers. It was very cute. By the beginning, she's like, "What is this?" And by the end, she was holding her little bag. They had themed character meet and greets. Like I said, the Sanderson sisters, which I am not willing to buy a ticket for a Halloween party to go see. I don't want to wait in the line in the hot weather. Here, I got to wait in line in the air conditioning on the ship. It only took about 20, 25 minutes to get to the front. I was at the back of the line. Took like 20, 25 minutes. Got the most beautiful photo with them under the Halloween tree in the atrium. Incredible. And they basically had all of these like Halloween themed things on board. And the Halloween stuff coincided with Pirate Night, which was really nice because it kind of elevated Pirate Night. Everybody was wearing a costume or a pirate outfit. And it was really, really great. Pirate Night, if you don't know, is just, it's Pirate Night. It's a celebration on Disney cruise ships that is basically like Pirates in the Caribbean-ish. There's people dress up, you get bandanas. It's fun. There's a nighttime show, and then we'll get into what happens after the nighttime show in a second. But anyway, we did a 3-night cruise. Day one, we arrived. Day two, we went to Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. Day three, we went to Nassau. I did not get off the ship. I only did ship stuff. And there's still stuff I didn't do. That's how much stuff there is to do. And day four, it doesn't count. You head home. You just get off board early. They turn that ship around because they have new people coming on. So it's really not even a day. It's just an exit. We left the ship around, gosh, I want to say 9:15. And we were some of the last people off. So it's lickety-split exiting. But anyway, I loved this length of sailing, this 3-night cruise. It was quick, but it felt like it was nonstop, which is perfect for someone like me who wants to just absorb nonstop Disney activities for 72 full hours, like just go, go, go until their body completely gives out. It was really nice because there was never a point where we're like, well, we already did all of this. Or like, well, what should we do? And especially for having a young kid, we just did stuff that was new constantly, which was so fun. There are so many ship activities on Disney Cruise Line. Again, we're just going to highlight a few things before we talk about my sailing. But we did some of these from the second we got on board. They have a nursery and they have onboard kids clubs, which are typically restricted to certain age, but they have open houses. And they especially have open house when you're on the ship before your room is actually ready. So we were able to run around all the different spaces. I was able to go on the kids' Slinky Dog slide. Very exciting for me. There are also character meet and greets throughout the entire sailing with we're talking Goofy, Donald, Daisy, Minnie, Mickey, Chip and Dale, Pluto. And they also had a slew of Marvel meet and greets on our Nassau day. I thought those were typically reserved for the Marvel at Sea themed cruises, but no, there were like a ton of them in the schedule on that Nassau day. It was so fun because we got to meet Goofy multiple times in different outfits. We got to meet Mickey in his Captain Mickey outfit. While we were waiting in line in the atrium for a Goofy meet and greet, we saw characters come down the elevator, which was bananas. The elevator is clear so you can see. And there was like Minnie and Daisy, I believe it was. There were a few different elevators of characters. And like just seeing that, it's just something about being on the cruise ship with the characters feels more familial. Like, it just feels a lot closer to them to be around them, to not have to walk to the end of the park to wait in the line to see them. Like, no, you're just hanging out on the ship, and then you hang out in line, and then they appear, and it's fast, and it's easy, and it's so good. Also, just a personal note, Pearl finally recognized Goofy. She finally recognized Goofy. The first few meets, we met Goofy a few times. I don't want to get into it. First few meets, she was like, I don't know who this is. And then the last one, he walked out, was like, bloop, 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 walking in the front of the line. And she stepped out of line and pointed at him the whole time. It's taking. The Goofy brainwash is taking. That's all I need to tell you, is that her favorite character is emerging. And surprise, surprise, it's Goofy. We also had I don't even want to talk about this because it was just us. It was a private thing because it was for like media people. We also met princesses, four in a row, bing, bang, boom. It's part of this thing called Princess Gathering, which you have to kind of reserve in advance. But it was so nice. And we just took her through. We met all the princesses. It was so quick. It was before breakfast. It was just so easy. But there are also these big character-filled parties on the upstairs outdoor pool deck. There's a big sail-away party, which is a character bonanza. But most importantly, the stage by the pool, the outdoor deck, is where Pirate Night goes down. And that is a staple of Disney Cruise Line because it comes with fireworks at sea. Literally, they have a fireworks show at sea. And they also have Mickey ziplining across the ship, which does not get talked about enough. Okay, I gotta stop yapping about this. There's also a really cute goodbye show in the main atrium on the last night with a lot of characters. It's very cute. Anyway, there are pools and Broadway-style stage shows and live music and adult-only activities and kids club and movie theaters and the movie theater show whatever Disney movies are out in theaters in real life, like on land. They also show them on the ship. And there's unlimited soft serve. And there's just so much more. There's so much more that we'll get into in the episode. But we are here to talk about the Bahamas and Disney Cruise Line because these cruises, man, I floated off board. What a trip. It is like nothing else. And while this was technically a work trip, I want to emphasize everything I'm saying because I am already booking a trip for next spring because I need to be on these ships way, way more often than I have been. What an unbelievable experience. Memories I will cherish for my entire life. Just like the perfect Disney trip, the when you envision it at the end, that is what you get. That is sailing with Disney Cruise Line. And it's not just Disney, it's also the people who go on these sailings. I mean, just take our neighbors on the ship. People usually decorate their doors with magnets, with fish extenders, which is a whole universe of people trading toys and pins and giving things away. There was a pin trading board down the hall from us where people would trade. There was so much. And our sweet neighbors had been on 30 cruises. They were amazing. And they gifted Pearl this little Ariel, like Little Mermaid duck on day one. It's just so indicative of how special it is to travel with Disney and with Disney people. It's just so communal. It's so nice. And I love it so much. And while other companies have some incredible things at sea, roller coasters, hibachi restaurants, ice skating rinks, truly some of these ships are over the top. But at the end of the day, Disney just doesn't need that because of everything they are. And here's what I mean by that after sailing with them for the first time in a couple years, because it's been a minute. Disney Cruise Line excels at being Disney in two very different ways. In the storytelling that you love that reaches to every corner of your experience, from the carpets to the music playing in the elevator to the restaurant themes, everything ties back to a memory, a film, a character, something you're familiar with. And it makes every corner of this vessel a heightened experience that a different company could never provide. But Disney Cruise Line also excels at being Disney in the sense that beyond the storytelling, it's Disney in the level of service and execution and excellence you expect from traveling with them. I mean, somewhere between our waiter doing magic for the table next to us and our assistant server giving us the full rundown of her skincare regimen because her skin was so good, it really is Disney. It's just peak Disney. And if you're like me, if you're a Disney parks person, you may be like, but there's no rides. There's no Epcot. How could I possibly enjoy myself? But sailing with Disney Cruise Line always reminds me how it's everything you love about Disney in a place that just happens to travel to other places. The shows, the adventures, the entertainment, the thrill of eating your favorite Disney foods and some new favorites without having to worry about a single dining reservation or paying a bill. The convenience of running back to your room between character meet and greets. Disney Cruise Line, I just want to emphasize how special it is, but especially because you are parks people, a lot of you, some of you, most of you. You might be more enticed by Cruise Line now more than ever. And I've said this before years ago on the podcast, but Disney Cruise Line really does put the vacation back into Disney vacations. There's no required wake-up times, no stress about sprinting between ride returns, no scrolling to book lightning lanes all day, no panic searching for restaurant availability or mobile order windows that'll feed you when you need to be fed. There's no feeling like you're on a schedule. Things are scheduled if you want to do them, but you're at ease. You can do anything you want, any day you want. Skip dinner and order room service. Chill by the pool all day eating chicken tenders. Run around the ship until you collapse in a heap at the end of the day. That feeling of doing Disney with ease, that increasingly rare feeling, is why I think people love Disney Cruise Line so much. And in particular, why people are so obsessed with Disney's island destinations. Because it is the ultimate way to relax Disney style. But Lookout Key, this new island destination, is very different from Castaway Key. And as much as I love Castaway, the original, I'm going to talk for a second. Don't get upset. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't get mad at me. I love Castaway, but Castaway could kind of be anywhere. You could literally be in like a Truman Project style bubble filled with water. There's no real sense of place in the world there, in my opinion. Just think you're on an extension of the world Disney has built for itself. And people love that. I love it. I get it. We love Disney. I'm with you. But Disney isn't just characters. It's also experiences. I think we love Disney because at the end of the day, they are storytellers. And sometimes their storytelling excels by being rooted in real life places. If you see where I'm going with this, let me just get straight to the point. Before we break down Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, I just need to stress. This is a Joe Rohde joint. And it comes through. Whereas Castaway Key is kind of the magic kingdom of Disney Cruise Line destinations, this is Animal Kingdom. In fact, the closest comparison I can make to Lookout Point is not Castaway. It's Aulani. Somewhere in a panel I attended on the tram, I can't place it. Somewhere someone said, it screams Disney with a Bahamian voice. And that is so true for Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. I mean, the rundown of activities and entertainment on this island are really unparalleled. You can do crafts and learn traditions with local artisans. There's Disney Fun in the Sun Party with Goofy and Chip and Dale and Pluto, where you get to play games and interact with the characters while playing games. Are you kidding me? Amazing. The characters themselves have outfits designed by a Bahamian fashion designer. Their name is Theodore Elliott. I'm pretty sure I pronounced it wrong. I'm so sorry, Theodore, but I'm telling you this because the outfits are so good. Prints and patterns and textures that are bright and colorful that include raffia, which is a natural Bahamian material. They're all beautiful, but Daisy's outfit. Run, stop, stop what you're doing. Pull out your phone, pull out a laptop, Google Daisy Duck Lookout Key. It's spelled C-A-Y. Lookout Key outfit. Daisy Duck Lookout Key outfit. Google it right now. Google it right now. You have to. The hat? The shoes? I missed her on the island, and that is a mistake I must fix. Also, I saw Minnie Mouse's purse in person. Beyond. So good. Anyway, more importantly, there is an entire Junkanoo celebration twice a day. This signature festival of the Bahamas is a bombastic parade with dancing and music and live musicians and the most stunning eye-catching outfits. People are drumming, they're playing horns, they're dancing, they're playing seashells. It was extraordinary and quite possibly the coolest entertainment I think I've ever seen Disney do anywhere. And then, of course, is the island itself. There's a massive water play area for all ages with splash pads and multiple water slides. There are different locations of their on-island restaurant. There's snorkeling. There's also this place called Sebastian's Cove, which is a 3-and-up water play area, but it's a kids club. So, like, the kids go there all day and the adults can go chill on the adult beach. Oh my gosh. It just has kind of everything you could hope for. And, of course, a utopia of beach chairs, umbrellas, and access to the shore. Now, Disney's goal in making Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point was to celebrate the Bahamas and the beauty of Eleuthera, which they did. There are all these structures throughout shaped like humongous oversized seashells. There is so much art that you might not even notice it at first, but it's filled with carvings and sculptures and so many small touches through and through. But as Bahamian as Lighthouse Point is, it's still Disney. It's still special because it's done in that different, authentic way. There is real placemaking here. And I found it so interesting because I've been to the Bahamas on cruises before plenty of times. I've flopped around Nassau, I've gone to Atlantis, I've done whatever. And a lot of these ports and private destinations for non-Disney cruise lines, the ones that you see advertised these days just kind of feel like playgrounds in a nice climate and not actual places. You know what I mean? They look fun. They look extremely fun, but it's just a blur of slides and sliders along the ocean. And here, Lookout Key really aims to do something different. That's why I think it's important to think of it not as how it shapes up to Castaway, but as a destination of its own. Because it is separate from Disney's original island, and it is different. Like, did you know Eleuthera in the Bahamas is known for their sweet pineapple and pink sand beaches? Or that Junkanoo outfits were made from cardboard? I learned stuff on my vacation day without even expecting to, which shows how much Bahamian culture they infuse into this place. But as nice of a time as I had, we gotta talk about the two elephants in the room. The bridge walkway and the flies. Because that's probably why some of you are listening to this episode, right? You and I both know that the early word out of this Bahamian destination was complicated. If you are online as much as I am, you know what I'm talking about. To catch the people up who aren't glued to their phones, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point opened earlier this summer, and there were two things that kind of went viral on social media. There being a significant amount of flies at the dining destination on the island, and the walkway that you'll take to a tram, which you will take to reach the actual beach. Now, this is not hearsay. I'm not inferring that people are wondering about this. I know these are pressing issues, issues that are keeping people from booking trips, because I have not stopped being asked about these since I got back from the cruise, since I boarded the ship, actually. So many people have asked me about these two things, not about the Bahamas, about what to do on the island, about what you'll eat, what you'll see. No, just these two. And I'm starting to get very concerned that it's keeping people from having a vacation. So let's get this out of the way. And I will be very honest with both of them. You're about to hear, but I just want to talk about how much fun I had, but we got to talk about these because it's important. It's important, and it's something that you all are very concerned about. The flies. It is absolutely fine now. It is fine. I saw the videos people first posted when the island opened, and it is nothing like that. I saw literally no flies in the serving area, and while there were some while I ate, again, I'm eating outside. I'm not like expecting there to be nothing. I was not bothered. It did not stop me from eating. It also did not stop Pearl from eating. And you would expect a baby to maybe be bothered by something like that. It was not bad. Weirdly, the amount of flies did change through the course of my meal. I think there was something, an item on my mom's plate that attracted more attention, so she experienced more of it. But either way, they have gigantic fans everywhere. Gigantic. Like the biggest fan you've ever seen in your whole life. Everywhere. They have worked really hard to make this problem go away, and it really isn't that much of a problem anymore. If you are bothered by it, toss a napkin over your food between bites. You'll be totally fine. Please don't let this keep you from booking a trip. And also don't miss the fried okra, which was great. Again, this problem is not a problem anymore. The other question I keep getting is about the pier. What is the walkway from the ship like? Is it long? Where's the beach? How do I get there? What's the deal with all this? So, yes, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be honest. I'm a journalist. It does take some effort to get to and from this island. To reach all the sun, sand, and soft serve Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point has to offer, you will have to walk a half-mile path and then board a tram. But what many people asking may not know is that this walkway was strategically built. This was all set up strategically as to not disrupt the native coral here in the Bahamas. Disney did so much cool conservation stuff that any coral in the area was relocated to improve the health of struggling coral reefs. I believe they even mentioned they worked on a coral nursery to grow new coral. They preserved these giant barrel sponges that were in the footprint of the pier, and they were relocated. They're apparently doing great. The island design maintains the sand dunes, which are important for animal habitats. And oh, Disney even made a fish highway? A fish highway. With natural limestone boulders, they set this thing up to ensure that fish could pass safely through the open trestle pier while also facilitating more coral development in the area. And that's just a small selection of their efforts, which to me is kind of wild because one, How amazing! And two, if I wasn't reporting on this, how would I ever know that? And I really, really wish this care towards conservation, especially when it comes to the walkway, was communicated better to all guests. If people knew why they were walking a half mile or so to reach a tram and not just flopping off a ship onto an island, I think they could really understand it more. If they could visualize all the coral and fish and creatures they were helping by traversing this pier, I think it would be a lot more palatable and something people aren't actively concerned about. And for Disney, a storytelling company, this just seems like the perfect opportunity to do just that. How cool would it be if the walkway was marked with plaques or artwork or any sort of informative diagram telling Disney Cruise Line guests what lives out there in the ocean, sharing facts about coral, maybe doing it with Nemo and Dory and friends, or the characters that they have on the tram overhead audio with Bahamian voices who represent different creatures who live there. Maybe add a scavenger hunt element to these informative plaques so kids can spot and collect hidden elements along the way. With such a heavy emphasis on placemaking here at Disney Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, and Disney excelling in storytelling, it just seems like a no-brainer to me. This is a company that has made ride queues entertaining and informative and fun, you know? Because you gotta walk to the tram is just not as fun as what Disney could do on a walkway to a tram. You see the vision, right? It just seemed like it fits. And I wish more people knew about this because I looked at the walkway completely differently once I knew. And I would love to know more about the fish highway. Where is it? Is it halfway there? I would love to look over the water and try to see fish in a specific location. I just think that would be so cool and add so much to that element of the journey. Now, personal experience, I walked there no problem on the way. It was like a normal theme park walk. It did not bother me. It was warm out. It was fine. But the walk back at the end of a day in the hot sun was not the most fun I've had on a vacation. I'm not gonna lie. It was quite humid the day we were there, and I felt it. And while I'm able-bodied, I'm young, I move a lot, it is trickier for people who aren't, which is why I think, again, so many people have asked me about this, not the cruise as a whole, but about this specifically. So if you have been wondering, there is a shuttle service available to anyone with issues, but again, I don't quite understand why small, simple amendments to this walkway for general guest comfort haven't been made in the months since it opened. You can wait for the golf cart to take you back and forth if need be, and you do get cold towels when you come back, which is fantastic. But speaking of cold towels, I'd much prefer it when starting the walk on the other end from the tram towards the ship. And maybe it's a staffing thing, maybe they have to be within a certain distance of the boat, but even if they plopped a few coolers of them, I would love to grab a few for my final minutes at the end of the day in the sun. There's also no shade or seating on this walkway, which I anticipated they would have added by now. And I understand, you can't just flop some furniture on top of the ocean. Like, I get that. You don't want it to blow away. You want things to be safe. But I wish they would add maybe one or two pit stops along the way for anyone who needs to take a break. It's probably not possible to have like a freestanding umbrella structure. I feel like if that was possible, they would have done it already. But why not a series of fabric canopies that they put up before guests exit and then take down each day? Some light furniture that could easily be taken in and out and brought out there with a golf cart. Again, small touches, but having that option would be really great for people who are mobile and don't require that golf cart transportation, but will still struggle in the heat. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Again, we are still talking about this pier. And I had a wonderful time. I don't like having to talk about this. I want to talk about the unbelievable swim out in the ocean. Again, it was unbelievable. But this is what I do. It's on my mind. It's on all of your minds. And I kept being like, why are we talking about this so much? There's a 3-night cruise. There's multiple destinations. Why are we obsessing over what adds up to be about a half hour of the entire vacation? We walk way more than this at theme parks. What is happening here? What is the deal? Why are we obsessed? And then it hit me. It goes back to the point that I made a little earlier in this episode. Disney Cruise Line has a spectacular product because they put the vacation back into Disney Vacation. Something we really don't get anymore. That's why people love it. This type of Disney trip is rare. That's why people love Castaway Cay. It's a pure extension of that cruise aesthetic, the highest of high levels of execution. You don't have to worry about a chair or umbrella or going back for lunch or whipping out your credit card or spending money or stressing. Everything you need is right there. Everyone you love is by your side. It's all here. It's all good. And while that sentiment is also true at Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, it takes effort to obtain there. The ease takes a hit. No matter which way you slice it, budgeting 45 minutes on each end to get there and back is not relaxing. Other cruise companies typically have tender boats between the ship and the port, which takes a while, trust me. And ports in other cities can sometimes be an hour or more away from your final destination, and having to schlep is part of it, just like it is on so many other cruises. But other companies and other cruises and other destinations, they're not Disney. And that's the difference. It's not that the walk is unfathomably long. It's just kind of long for Disney. And I know their goal with this destination was to highlight and celebrate Bahamian culture while still maintaining the quality of experience for guests, which I do think they did. They did a great job. But the time it takes to reach that destination is sticking out because it feels atypical. It's not bad. It's not, in most cases, prohibitive. It's just not easy. It's not what you'd expect from Disney. But then again, it's a blip. I didn't return home from this vacation thinking about the 24 minutes I spent walking. Just like you don't come home from an incredible day at Epcot thinking about your walk towards the front gate. What they created here is fantastic. It's different. It's delightful. And it is so Disney. And I don't want those two things that are dominating the conversation to be what you take away from these sailings and these destinations either. Because what I'll remember is swimming in the ocean with my family. Drinking a Dole Whip smoothie while talking to friends, touring one of the cabanas and walking straight from its beautiful wooden patio, down the steps, and immediately feeling the waves crash over my feet. Buying the best souvenir I've ever gotten on a cruise, or possibly elsewhere, a Donald Duck handwoven purse that ever since I've returned, I have continued to use and love. Because it reminds me of the wonderful time I had that day during the dance party that is Junkanoo. And my mom taking Pearl back to the ship to take a nap, leaving me to enjoy Serenity Bay, the adult beach, and my first moment alone in days. Stretching out in the most beautiful, inviting, gorgeous beach I have seen in my life. Towards the end of the day, things calming down, that feeling of endless ocean, expansive water, and relaxation. Paired with the realization of how many new adventures awaited me that evening when I was back on board. That is Disney. And that is what I hope you remember about this incredible new destination. I had the time of my life on this cruise, and I made memories I will cherish forever. Forever, truly for the rest of my life. And I can't wait to tell you more about it right after this break. If you listen to this podcast, you know I have an arch nemesis, and that is my allergies. I've apologized in so many episodes over how noticeably I am suffering, which is why I am beyond excited to tell you there is a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding a loved one's house because they have a cat, and not just because that is a real problem in my family. Thanks to Curex, America's largest online allergy clinic, you're able to begin your journey towards becoming allergy-free with custom medication that is shipped right to your door. My life is crushed on a daily basis by allergies. I'm out here at theme parks crying through my makeup, wiping away tears and snot constantly because my body can't handle the elements, or pollen, or dust, or most makeup, just purely existing in the outdoors. Or indoors, it's a real double whammy. The amount of products we have bought in our house to help with my dust allergies is innumerable, which is why I am blown away by Curex. Because allergies aren't just something you're forced to live with. They can be treated effectively and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you can start feeling real relief. These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science. And from what I'm told, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. And if you've ever watched a French pharmacy skincare haul, you know Europeans know what's up.
You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic, and the New York Times says they are changing the landscape of allergies. So if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off the $49 sign-up fee. And I'm bad at math, so in case you are also, that means for my calculator and my computer, you'll be spending under 10 bucks. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. That's getcurex, GetCurex.com. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you about Artifact Uprising. Artifact Uprising! If you've heard of them, you know they're a Colorado-based company that specializes in creating premium-quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. But even if you have or haven't, we need to talk about the greatest thing in the world that they sell. Now, they have so many made-to-order, high-quality photo books, but their baby board book had me screaming from my laptop over how good it is. Their photo books and scrapbook albums and calendars and cards and wedding guest books, they're all made using high-quality printing methods for clear, vibrant photos. But so is their exceptional baby board book. So it's basically a 100% customizable book with photos and captions that help your little one learn new words with photos of what they actually see around them on a daily basis. No cartoon bath or doodle of a crib. No. I did photos of her shoes, her chair, her playground and water bottle. It's so smart, it's so cute, and with baby-friendly round corners and thick pages for any tiny destructive toddler fingers, it's the coolest learning item I have ever ordered her, and she's already obsessed. And you can get one too, because Artifact Uprising makes it easy to share your memories, teach your littles, and tell your story. Through the end of the year, Very Amusing listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. That's a good deal. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AMUSING through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com/AMUSING through December 31st. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers to kid-friendly fits to full party-ready looks with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy.
So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Now, as you all know, I was sailing with my mom and my baby Pearl, my toddler. And bringing a toddler on vacation has pros and cons. Here, the pro is that we will have an entire separate episode all about doing Disney Cruise Line with young kids, babies, toddlers, and I think I'm going to expand it to like 3-year-olds if I can do enough research. So there is an episode coming in the next few weeks that is fully geared towards how to do this with a young kid. I thought it was amazing. I highly recommend it. But there's a lot of stuff I wish I knew that I didn't hear about before I came on board. And I knew the basics, but still there's a lot there. So that is in a separate episode. That is the pro, is that we're going to get a whole bunch of knowledge that we have to share. The con is that because I was with a toddler, I wasn't able to do the full extent of everything I would do on a cruise. I didn't get to see any stage shows, so I can't review any of those for you. There's like certain things, certain activities I wasn't able to do. I didn't spend as much time in the adult spaces as I anticipated. So again, pros and cons. But I still have so much to tell you about from my sailing. We stayed in a deluxe Ocean View stateroom with veranda. And if you haven't been on a Disney cruise ship before, basically what you need to know is that they have split bathrooms. That means that you have essentially two bathrooms. One is a toilet with a sink and mirrors and storage. And the other is a bath shower combination with a sink and just a little storage. It's super convenient when you're traveling with a bunch of people. Even with myself and my mom, she gets one bathroom, I get the other. It makes things a lot easier and a lot more seamless, especially in a smaller space. The room is, I think it's kind of like one of the bigger rooms that they offer. I'm not doing concierge, which is their like top tier thing, but at no point did I feel like it was tight. And again, my mom and I have so much stuff. Pearl had so much stuff, and we used probably half the storage. We used about half of the storage. I didn't even use my half of the closet. Our suitcases went under the bed. We had Pearl's pack and play, and it's still, there was so much room. So if you are worried about being jammed in a Disney Cruise Line ship, just remember the rooms are good. The rooms are like, they're designed in a way where it feels nice and you won't at all feel cramped, in my experience. I've stayed in an interior room on other cruise line ships. I have not stayed in an interior room with Disney Cruise Line, but I will tell you, if you sleep in an interior room, I always say you're gonna get the best sleep of your life. I did it once and I slept 12 hours. It's just pitch black. It's nice. It's really nice. So while I can't talk extensively about certain things, there is one thing that we can chat about at length, and that is all the food on board, which is in a way its own entertainment because there are so many dining options. We'll start with Cabanas, which is kind of their buffet style restaurant. We did Cabanas for breakfast most mornings. We did lunch on arrival day. But truly, some of the best stuff I ate this trip was at Cabanas. You just really got to keep an eye out for it. It has, you know, the traditional breakfast and lunch options, but they also have some low-key hits. I'm telling you, they have congee at breakfast, which is always great. I posted about this after the Disney Wish. I don't think I've posted about it yet on my Instagram feed, but I will soon. It's basically a hot rice porridge. It's a savory rice porridge. I got the ginger and chicken one, and you can add soy sauce and cilantro and onions and veggies, and it's just so good. It's so nutrient dense. It's just like a really nice thing to have like in the morning. It's warm. It's delightful. And keep in mind, I don't like an oatmeal. This is so far superior to oatmeal or even granola. I love congee so much. I've made it a few times. It's never as good. And they always had this, like house-made chili sauce, which was out, which was fantastic. But the best thing I ate on the entire cruise ship was at Cabanas. It was on the, I think, third day, and I never saw it again. And it was churro Mickey waffles. Now, apparently, I'm told these are at Crystal Palace. Maybe I've gotten them and loved them and totally forgot. I have to check Google Photos. I have to go through everything and see. Maybe I had them and I didn't like them. I just remember, okay, the cheesy, like, hash brown potato situation. That's all I think of when I think of Crystal Palace. But either way, they had these and I could not handle how good they were. They were one of the most delicious bites of my whole life. I took a video. It's too embarrassing to post. It's just me taking a bite going, oh my God, that's so good. And I kept eating it. I went back and got a second one because I was like, I was going to a fancy brunch after, more than that in a second. And I was like, I can't just have one. I know you don't want to hear me yap about a food that you can't access easily. Just know if you see a churro Mickey waffle, eat it. Eat it. They also have incredible poolside food, which I did not take enough advantage of. Yes, there is ice cream, soft serve machines that are just a free-for-all with flavors that change daily. But also, the poolside chicken fingers. If you follow my friend Jeffrey Epstein, if you've ever heard him speak out loud about Disney cruises, he has been on, I'm going to guess 20. He's probably been on around 20. I'm seeing him later. I'm sure that's right. But Jeffrey's always like, the chicken fingers are the best. They're the best. And they are the best. I don't know how to explain it. It's not like there's a different chicken finger factory on board a Disney cruise ship. I don't know what it is, but they're so good on the cruise ship. They are even better than they are anywhere else. Oh, they're so good. They have stuff like that, poolside, pizza, sandwiches. Again, all of it is just free. You can just grab it whenever you want. It's all included. But they also had a full shawarma station, which I did not remember this. They had a full shawarma station. I went 3 times total. Okay, maybe I did hit up the poolside food. But they had way more toppings than I anticipated. They had like hummus and different kind of vegetables and baba ganoush and that like different hot sauces. They had so much. It was such a good meal to have like protein and a warm pita. Give you like a nice soft little pita. It was so good. It was so good. Anyway. On the pool deck is also where you'll find the beverage station. Disney Cruise Line has free soda, which is, I feel rare. It seems rare. I was Googling around. Other cruise lines don't do that. But this also has coffee and tea and hot water and other things in that area. And I learned a little too late. Did you know there's soda water on tap? I didn't even think about it. I know it's on tap other places, but they don't have the little, you know, the little like, okay, imagine you're doing a come here thing with like your finger, like come here. The little thing that you get water from and regular soda things, the sad little lever where they're like, fine, don't get Diet Coke, get water, hydrate yourself. They have not that for soda, which they usually have. It's a full button. It's like Mountain Dew status. It has its own thing. It says soda. And I was going to like fill up a bunch of bottles. I never got around to doing it. Next time, I'm going to bring like a 64-ounce jug and just fill it. Oh my God, I'm going to fill it with fruit from Cabana's in the morning, get some strawberry, get some pineapple, put some fruit in there. They get a 64-ounce jug, fill it with seltzer, just slurp on it all day. Why have I never done this? Okay, I'm doing this on the next cruise. I brought my Camelback. I was responsible. I used it. I used it on the island. I used it all like across the ship. It was so nice to have water on my back all the time because you know how easily I get dehydrated. Didn't happen this trip because of my Camelback. A throwback to a recent episode. I got a churros call about it. Not a problem anymore. But, oh my God, can you imagine like a full insulated like Stanley thing with fruit in there? Okay. Sorry. This is not what we're here to talk about. But anyway, there are 3 sit-down restaurants on this ship. And Disney Cruise Line has rotational dining. If you're not familiar, that means that you start at one and you move through to hit all of them. You're not at the same like, I don't want to say Titanic vibe, but it's like a little Titanic vibes. Like other cruise lines have their big formal dining room that you go to every night. Here you move from restaurant to restaurant, which means that because we were on a 3-night sailing, we ate at a new restaurant every night, which was so much fun. On longer ones, you repeat them. It's also great, but it's really nice to just be like, oh, what delight are we in for this evening? We began at Rapunzel's Royal Table, and there are 2 nightly seatings at each restaurant. We chose the later seating because Pearl is on West Coast time. She went to bed at like 10 o'clock, 10:15 Eastern. So we did, I think it was 8:15 was the dinner, which worked out perfectly. I had never done Rapunzel's Royal Table before. It's kind of like, it's like an interactive theater dinner show experience. I don't know how to put this. It was loud in there. If I was there without a child, I would probably think differently. It was quite loud. The show was great. You get to see Rapunzel. She comes around to your table. So it's basically free character dining. I thought the like supporting characters were fantastic, but it was a little loud and it was our first night and it was like Pearl's first sit down meal on the cruise. So I was pretty stressed, but otherwise it was really nice. At that meal, my friend Shay Spence was on board. I will bring him up a lot in this food section, but Pearl got to meet Shay and his husband James. And oh, so I went as part of like a media sailing. So there were reporters, there were influencers, and then there were like other people who are like a hybrid, you know, like people who have a YouTube channel or like have a lot of followers, different type of people. And we sat down and my mom was like, I know the people next to me. And I was like, you don't know the people next to us. You don't. And this is, again, it's like a little loud, like Pearl, I'm like making sure she can eat. I'm a little stressed about Pearl. Cause again, we had a nightmare flight the night before. She had barely slept. It was a lot. I was just like, I got to get a real meal on this kid. So I was focused on Pearl. My mom was also focused on Pearl. That's not what I mean. But she was like, I know these people. And she's like, do I know you from TV? It ends up, and my subscribers know this because I posted about it there during the cruise, ends up we were sitting next to a couple from Love is Blind. They were on, they were like part of the media group. I think they're influencers. They were doing a lot of filming. They might be vloggers. I don't know. They were, oh God, what's their name? I can't say this and that's their name. Amy and Johnny from Love is Blind. Maybe season 6? I'm Googling. Yeah, season 6, Love is Blind. They could not have been nicer. And I don't say that to just be like, oh, they were nice. Like, they were unbelievably nice. We talked to them all 3 nights. They were wonderful. I wouldn't have mentioned them, but I want to mention them to just be like, if they are your faves, know that they are great. Know that they are great and wonderful. And we had a lovely time sitting next to them. They seem very happy. I've never seen the show. I've never seen Love is Blind, but they seem very happy. The second night we went to Lumiere's, which is kind of like a Beauty and the Beast French-inspired restaurant. I had escargot here, which were fantastic. That's really the headline here. I had escargot and they were fantastic. I love escargot. They were very good. But I do have to confess that I didn't realize there was a souffle on the menu. I fully missed it. I don't know how I missed it. I ordered ice cream or a Mickey bar. I was like, I just want vanilla ice cream. I didn't even look. There was a souffle, which I am heartbroken about. But alas, it was a great meal. I think this was my favorite meal of the cruise, even though Shay said he thought the food at Animator's Palette was better. We ordered completely different things. I mostly ate like vegetarian fish meals on this trip. He ate more meat. He was with 2 other people. He tried other dishes. So I trust him. But either way, we had a wonderful time eating. There was so much good food. There was so much good food on the ship. And our last night, of course, we went to Animator's Palette. This is basically a restaurant that honors the legacy and history of Disney animation. It is black and white and everything turns to color with a surprise at the end of your meal. There are different versions of this restaurant and different ships. I love it. I think it's a really, really, it was a really nice way to end our trip, actually. It was like a great button to finish on because the nighttime surprise is very like cheerful and happy. And I thought it was just lovely. Everything I ate at the restaurants was great. I loved it. There were so many options for Pearl. It was really nice. Also the staff, I loved our waiter. I loved our assistant waiter. I ordered a Diet Coke the first night and every night there was a Diet Coke waiting for me. It was lovely. It was really, really lovely. And then when you leave the ship, you can go back to the restaurant. We went back to the restaurant we went to the last night. So we went back to Animator's Palette. We had an assigned time to come back. We had a really nice breakfast before we got off the ship. It was nice. But those aren't the only restaurants on the ship. There's also Paolo. Paolo is the upscale 18 and over adult only restaurant. There's also on other ships, Remy, which is even fancier than Paolo, and Enchanté, which is even fancier than Remy. I guess now that I'm saying it, I've been to all of them. Oh my God, I am lucky. Oh my God, I love my job. Okay, so I've been to all of them. The Disney Wish episode that I did after that sailing in 2022, I talked about Enchanté and that. I've only been to Remy once. I remember we spent a lot of money on sparkling water because there was a water menu. But I was able to go to Paolo for brunch. And my mom watched Pearl. It was very nice of her. More on that when we do the toddler episode. There's a lot more there. But anyway, I went. I ended up meeting up with Shay and James and their friend. We got to all have brunch together. And the food here, again, the food at the restaurants is great. But the food here is exceptional. It is a step above. We split a bunch of stuff like eggs and there was a steak and there were pastries, there was pizza and all this stuff. But I liked what I ordered best. I got a calzone. I just wasn't feeling like breakfast. I wasn't feeling like chicken parm, which, oh, I don't even want to say this. Why did I say chicken parm? Oh, I don't even want to put this out into the universe. But Shay said it first, so I feel like it's okay. Shay did a few videos, about everything he had on Disney Cruise Line. We were on the same sailing. We had some time together, so I feel like we lined up. We were at this meal together. In his video, he says that he didn't like the chicken parm when we were at Paolo, which is one of the more famous dishes of Paolo. Paolo was like, oh, you've heard of Paolo? Chicken parm, souffle for dessert. Like, that is Paolo. And our waiter brought me a chicken parm. And I didn't like it either. And I know I'm going to lose all credibility by saying that. But the chicken parm didn't hit for me. The calzone did. The calzone was really good. Like, their pizza oven is legit. It is putting in the work. So if you go, don't feel like you have to order certain things, except the calzone. Order the calzone because I told you to. Also, we didn't realize until the end of the meal that there are waffles on the menu. They're flavored waffles. We did not realize they were Mickey shaped. So we ended up ordering one for dessert. I believe it was a strawberry Mickey waffle. It was delicious. If I go back, I would get a calzone and a waffle because you can order as much as you want. I believe current pricing for Paulo at dinner is $50. We did brunch, which was $45, I believe. But what you need to know is that I was looking around and I don't think the Paulo brunch is usually available on the 3-day cruises. Again, just look into it. It was something that was arranged for us, again, because this was a work trip, but I had actually never experienced Paulo brunch. It used to be a buffet and now it is you order from the table. I'd always wanted to experience a buffet, but even though I haven't, I still think this was wonderful because our waiter was like, I'll get you anything you want, anything. You gotta get this, you gotta get this. It's basically like all you can eat, as much as you'd like to eat. Again, like you don't need to be shoveling. If you eat like a lot of meat, you're not gonna feel good. But basically all I mean to say is that I finally went to Paulo brunch. I've been to dinner before, it's lovely. Went to brunch, I kind of like it more because when you go to Paulo for dinner, if you're on a shorter cruise, you kind of feel like you're missing out on one of the dinners. And this way I didn't miss out on anything. And I got to eat a calzone. So for this gal, win-win. Even though I was traveling with Pearl, I was able to squeeze in a little bit of nightlife on the last night after Pearl went to sleep, not before, after. My mom watched her, which I need to say clearly, my mom watched her because, okay, this is only for people who are listening to this in real time, but that story about the TikTokers who went viral because they like left their kids in the cabin. So many people sent that to me while I was on my cruise that now I'm just like, my mom was there. I just need to make sure everyone knows my mom was there. My mom was there. I went out. My mom was there. My mom stayed back. My mom stayed back. So many people sent it to me. Anyway, there are separate adult-only spaces on all of Disney Cruise Line sailings, and it varies from ship to ship. On our ship, we had a place called Keys, which guess what they have there? Piano music. O'Gill's Pub, it's a pub, and Fathoms, which is where they're having like a really fun dating show happening on stage, and I didn't have time to go see it, but I really kind of wanted to. It looked fun. I went to get a drink. I went to the Soul Cat Lounge, which is inspired by the movie Soul, and it was really cute. They had a live musician playing Beatle covers. It really felt like I was at a New York club, which is almost more bonkers because this was one of the lounges that is open to the main walkway towards one of the restaurants. Like, it was just open. And yet it still felt very secluded and intimate and like I was somewhere else. It's one of the newer spaces. They did such a good job. It was so nice. Most of my cruising in the past has been adult only, so this was very different for me. But I think Disney Cruise Line does an exceptional job with adult-based trips. I obviously didn't make it to the spa with a toddler, please, or a rainforest room, which is a crowd favorite on this. I have done it in the past. But yeah, the adult stuff is just so nice. It's just so nice to be able to like see Goofy and have a relaxing vacation. It's so nice. And speaking of adult areas, this one's also got Cove Cafe. It was unbelievably relaxing. Listen, I've been to Cove Cafe on almost every ship. And to go to Cove Cafe when you're traveling with a toddler and just leave him behind for a minute, again, with my mom. Oh my God, I gotta be very careful. Just walking in, just going to get a coffee, like a well-deserved iced latte. And then just sitting in like a nice, I think it was a leathery chair. It's quiet. Ooh, let me tell you, when Pearl is like old enough to be running and gunning it at all these kids clubs on board, like Oceaneers Club and stuff, your girl's gonna be in Cove Cafe posting about her trip. I can't wait for like true family vacation where like the kids do what they want, I do what I want, and then we come together later and we enjoy things together. Oh, it's so nice. Anyway, Cove Cafe is great. I went after the morning rush. They, again, haven't been to a Cove Cafe in a while. They have so many seasonal fancy drinks, my Lord. I'm used to it being like, maybe you can get a little syrup. Maybe they'll like put your face in foam on a cappuccino. No, they have like legit barista drinks. It was nice. And I even saw people who definitely worked on the ship who were like there on their off time to get Cove Cafe drinks. So if they live and work there and they think it's great, you know it's good. Again, they have coffee on tap all the time, but I don't like hot coffee. I like a nice latte. And it was such an indulgence. Now, I did a Instagram Live when I came home. I was deliriously tired, but I still answered a bunch of questions on there. It's saved to my reels. It's on my profile. But one of the ones that I got both there and in like DMs and messages straight to me were people were concerned about like the safety and cleanliness of Disney Cruise Line because you are on a ship and you are surrounded by so many kids. And so I really want to address that because I have addressed stuff like this in the past. It feels kind of important. I want to mention going on the ship was the first time I haven't worn a mask in a crowded public place indoors in a while, in a very long time. It was scary for me at first. It was just quite different. But my mom and I were like, you know what? We're here. My mom also masks regularly. We were like, we're here. We're on vacation. Like, we made it healthy. We like made it healthy to the trip, which was the goal. So we were just going to go for it. And I emerged totally fine. Like, I was fine. I mean, I didn't feel great a few days later just because I was exhausted. Like, a week of nonstop travel and no sleep will do that. If I went straight home after the cruise, I would have been like, tra-la-la, I feel nice. But I instead drove like 3.5 hours to Walt Disney World and then did full days in the park. So that's on me. But I didn't get sick. I didn't get sick and I'm kind of thrilled about it. It was just nice to like be back and be normal and be able to like lean in and do everything and to be able to do all of that. But I also got a lot of questions specifically about like cleanliness, sanitation. There's so many kids. Am I going to get sick from them? Disney Cruise Line, I need to emphasize this. Disney Cruise Line takes cleanliness and sanitation so seriously. You can't enter an eating space without wiping your hands or washing them at cabanas. They are on top of it. I was so impressed that even the doors and the elevators, they just kind of have like you wave your hand. You wave your hand and the door opens and you can kind of like use your knuckle to press stuff. I really felt like the contact issue was so taken care of on this ship, better than I even remembered. And I was really impressed by it. I always, usually when I'm in a hotel, if you are concerned about it, take a Lysol wipe and just wipe down the high touch points in your room, like the light switches, the knobs, just do that. Even if it's just a day in after you guys touch everything, it's just always a good thing to do if you're concerned about it. Like I am, because I think about this stuff way too much. It's so weird to talk about a cruise and not be like, I saw the shows, I saw a movie, I went to the spa. But again, this was a different type of trip. And it was mostly about the island and we did the island. It was great. I didn't get off at Nassau. I stayed on the ship. I brought Pearl to the splash pad. Again, we will get into all toddler things in the future episodes. But if you have a question about Disney Cruise Line or sailing with Disney or you want to know more, just call 747 Churros and I will hook you up. Speaking of, this episode took longer than I anticipated to put together because your girl tired. She went from like 9 or 10 days without any childcare to a weekend mostly without childcare, right back to work for the first time in almost 2 weeks. So I do not have a churros call in this episode. I'm very sorry. There's one I really wanted to do. Sydney, if you're listening, it's yours. I'm going to answer it next week. It's about Japan. It's very exciting. So I apologize it's not in this episode, but it's now nighttime and I need to leave my desk. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed. Let me know if you have any cruise line questions. And hopefully I will see you on a future sailing because when I tell you I have like the itch to already go back, if I'm not on a cruise ship in like the next 4 months, I might melt. Like I loved it so much. And I've been on cruises and I've been on Disney Cruise Line and I always say that I love it. But this time, oh, it's just so special. Again, let me know if you have any questions and I will see you next week. Ooh, we're talking about Disney World, our Disney World trip. Get stoked. Okay, bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
show! Thank you all so much for listening. And honestly, thank you to Disney Cruise Line for existing. I'm just real glad that we get to do Disney at Sea. Isn't that nice? It's just so nice. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also, you know, call us up with a question, a little story you want to tell, a problem, a complaint, literally whatever you want to do, I'm going to listen to it. You can do that at 747churros. You can send us a voice note or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. Now, full disclosure, we do pay closer attention to the voicemail end than the email end, but I'll get them anyway. You can also support Very Amusing by buying some merchandise. I personally forgot, we have kids' clothes, and now my tiny baby is in kids' clothes. Like, she can wear kids' clothes, so I kind of have to scoop a lot of those up very soon. Because why not? If I'm going to buy her a t-shirt anyway, I might as well buy a logo that I love and merchandise from the thing that I spend all my time on. Why not? But you can buy Shrek's Ember hats and fun sweatshirts and t-shirts and other random stuff at very-amusing.com. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet and join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. And if you'd like, you can subscribe to my Instagram. It's 99 cents a month. My Instagram is, like I said, at Carly Wiesel. There's, I think, over 600 of us who are hanging out, partying all the time. It's nice. I post a lot of stuff there lately. A lot of stories that used to go on the main feed now go there. It's just nice to have like a more insulated community. It's like the Fomaly, but for Instagram. The Fomaly is just a close-knit community. You know, it's like, it's smaller. It's just, there's less of us. It's nice. And that's what subscribers, there's many more people in the Fomaly, but that's what the subscribers is to me. That's kind of what I'm treating it like. It's very fun. I've loved to share my trip on there. And if you missed anything, there's a subscriber's highlight so you can join today. And then check it out again, 99 cents a month. Not too bad. Not too bad. I think that's the lowest they'll let me charge. Not too bad. This episode was edited deliberately by Jeff Fox. There's this thing called the LA Breakfast Club, which I had never heard of. And it's apparently just like a cool hang that happens very early in the morning with special guests who lecture about stuff. Recently, Paul Scheer was there. Former Very Amusing guest, friend of the pod, Paul Scheer was there to talk about his book. I have to read it still. Oh, I've been meaning to. I know, I'm so bad. But I recommend you do. I heard it's great. I will read it. You know, the only book I've read in like the past 3 years was The Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory book. Wait, what is Jessica's book called? Where is it? I have it here, but this sign says The Big Bang Theory. So if this mine says that, then I'm fine. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. Sorry I lost my voice. I had so much fun with you last week. Oh, my God. Must have been too much screaming on the ship during Pirate Night because my voice is gone. But I have to say, you mentioned the baby book that you made for Pearl. Oh, my God. This book was so wonderful. Out of all the 20 books that I bought her to play with, she only wanted this book of pictures of her on each page doing different activities. Her favorite food, she loved it. I need to get one of those. That was wonderful. Also, Ashley seems so great. Can you imagine writing this book for 4 years? All the shows that you watched, I watched with you. I was always supervising. I remember High School Musical, Hannah Montana, and Lizzie McGuire. I like watched all those shows with you. Katie, who called in about never having popcorn at the park. Oh, my God. This is my favorite. Better than any popcorn. And it's not just the smell that brings you in. There's one stand where they do their parades that makes the best popcorn ever. That little red stand there. I love it. So good. It is always delicious, hot, salty to replenish that 110 degree days of sweating. It's wonderful. But I was just in LA a couple weeks ago, and to surprise you, I was at the Grove and they have this theater there. I'm not sure the name of it. And I went in and bought a jumbo popcorn, extra butter, and brought it to you to surprise you while you were doing your Very Amusing recording. So true. Great episode. I miss you already being home. I can't wait to see you guys again. Happy day. Love you. Great episode. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.